Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, quickly open your Bibles again to where we were last time. I think we're in Jeremy chapter 4, right? I just want to read that one again. Just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it, so keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this nation is a great and understanding people. For what nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Verse 8 says, or what nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? Now, this is just a text to bring out an important point I made some time ago, which I've been going over again and again. But like my wife said last time, I was telling my wife that that the thing I wanted to say, I really didn't finish saying that, or I didn't get into saying it. She said that's the usual thing. I think you shouldn't just bother saying it anymore. We've gotten used to it by now. That what you want to say, you almost never get into it. All right. So I've been trying to say this thing for some time, but I have a very strong feeling that today I will get into it. Say amen, somebody. All right. Okay. Now, so I read this to bring out an issue, and I need to say it again. And please don't feel like you have said it before. This thing, you can never say them enough. Do you understand my point? All right, according to Kenneth Hagin, where there is no repetition, the people are not established. The repetition is important for the establishment of people. And what am I trying to explain? That Christianity is not a religion. When you are talking about religion, as in somebody is a Muslim, somebody is a Hindu, and all of that, that is not what Christianity is. What Christianity is life. Do you follow my point? The ability to draw near to God. Do you follow me? That is the ability to draw near to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. That's what Christianity is. It's not just a way by which I make myself feel happy that I am doing something that is good. No, it's that I have discovered life. I have a personal relationship with God the Father through his Son Jesus Christ. That indeed, there is nobody between me and God. Now, Jesus, now this is the interesting part. He has already introduced me to the Father. You know, he told the disciples before he left. He said, ask anything you want. I am not saying that I will ask the Father for you. I am telling you that the Father himself loves you. Do you get my point? That it's through the blood of Jesus we have been washed and will now have the ability to approach personally to the throne of God. And that's what we are trying to bring out from this Jeremiah chapter 4, that our God is close. He's close to us, not just as a church, but individually. Get what I'm saying? You can never think good, all right, of yourself, for yourself, to the degree to which God is thinking of good for you. Do you get what I'm saying? Look, I have discovered this to be a matter of fact. Anything God says you can't have is not good for you. You know, some people think that Christianity, all right, like let me give you an example now. Okay, I don't drink anymore. I don't party anymore. Maybe somebody say give your life to Christ. So you see, I don't smoke. Forget smoking. Those are not serious issues. I don't know why Christians like to make a big deal of those small things about life. There are more serious matters in life, all right? Or let's say things like I don't do sharp deals. Those are serious matters. I don't commit adultery. Those are serious matters. So I was trying to say that people think that Christianity. So when you say that, okay, I don't do this anymore. What I'm coming to is that what people call enjoyment in life, okay? I am no longer enjoying it. Now, please get what I'm saying. I'm no longer doing what? Enjoying it. Because the man's heart is still in Egypt. So he's still craving the garlic and those things that Satan used to hold him in bondage in Egypt. And he thinks, now this point I'm trying to make, he thinks that God should reward him, now listen, for denying himself of what he would otherwise have enjoyed to serve God. I don't know whether you're getting the point. He actually thinks he's doing God a favor. That God, if it was before, you know, today is Friday, I won't be found anywhere around here. But that I don't trip, go. But now look at me now. I'm sitting down and I'm going to church for Bible study. It shows I really love you. Listen to me. You never get sense yet. That's why you're talking like that. It's like somebody saying that, doctor, it's just because of you, I don't drink Chinese milk again. You know, this Chinese milk that has been polluted with melamine. Let's assume doctor say that, look, I don't want you to drink any milk from China. You know, European countries now have banned milk coming from China. All right? So they say that, you know, say, doctor, just because I love you, is this proof that I love you? If it's before now, by now, I don't finish one whole can of milk. Eh? All of them from Shanghai, you know, all the way from Beijing. But because of you, doctor, you see, I love you so much, I don't drink polluted milk anymore. Or you come and say, doctor, you know, I don't eat all these refined foods and all these high cholesterol foods. I don't do that anymore. Why? Because of my love for you, my doctor. If you are unfortunate enough to have a doctor like me, I will give you the liberty to go and do it. Say, please drink poison if you want. Peradventure, you want real one that can kill you fast. I have some in our medical shelf I can give you. I'm going to explain something. When people think that they are denying themselves, in quote, to serve God, they're actually making a mistake. God is telling you what will be good for you, not what is good for him. I like the way Elihu said it to Job. He said, if you do righteousness, how does it affect God? Do you know the difference between you and him? You are getting the principle. That you see, it is not God that you are doing it for. It is yourself. I have said this again and again, and I can't stop saying it. A lot of the iniquities of men, when I say men, I mean men as a male gender, all right? Okay, for example, womanizing, adultery, is the reason why they don't prosper, they don't understand. No, get what I'm saying? I'm not saying that God will now be angry and be afflicting the person. He will now go and take a cane and start beating him. No, I mean the ability, listen, you have a specific amount of spiritual capacity in life. You can waste your ability to make sound business judgment. I'm telling you the truth. You are jumping from one reveling point to another. What you are losing, you don't understand, is the ability to make correct business judgment. The ability to see problems in the society and provide a solution that will bring you to the midst of abundance. You've thrown it away. And you know, well, if you see men gather and fool themselves, that is, you talk about how they did this, used this trick to catch this girl, and when I hear such things, I just be feeling bad. This guy is discussing why his children will all be dull in school. He doesn't know why. He doesn't get the point. He's explaining to himself why my generation will never be outstanding. And they will sit down, and for him, it's a matter of bragging. Now, I'm going to explain something. That God loves you, God loves me. What we think we are denying ourselves for God, we are making a mistake. We are not, you can't, listen, God can never be bigger than he is. No matter what good or evil you do, he remains the same size. You've heard me say this before. That people will say, praise God, if you want anything, that as if God's head will swell. They say that the food of God is praise. I said, it really is good to praise God, all right? But I don't accept that it's his food. Because if it was God's food, then you have the ability to improve his life. Do you follow what I'm saying? And you don't have it. Praise is comely upon you. Listen, the most important thing that praise does for you is to beautify you that is praising God. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is you that gets beautified, not God. I'm explaining the principle that God is so close. That's what we are saying. That God loves you more than you can ever love yourself. You don't have the capacity, all right, to imagine the amount of goodness that God desires for you. You don't have that capacity. There is a book I'm working on. It should come out, I hope, before the end of the year. It's titled, modify the title, but for now, the title is Lose That Blessing and Let It Come, you know, something like that. What I'm trying to say is that, actually, if you had the capacity to open your eyes and see into the spiritual realm, you will see how wealthy Jesus Christ has made you. No, that's what the book is about. I'm not going to explain. It's a very small book, all right? I'm not going to explain to people how to stop hindering the blessing of God from coming upon them. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are real. They are not things of imagination. And once you pray, God releases your answer into the realm of the spirit. The problem a lot of times is between that realm and the physical realm. Just like God released an answer, all right, for Daniel and the prince of Persia was withstanding the angel for 21 days. What I'm going to explain is this. God has enriched his children. He's a very good God. That's what I'm emphasizing. Listen, you can never, oh God, I've said this about the seventh time I'm saying it right now. You can never imagine the fraction of good that God desires for you or has already ordained for you, you can't. So if God says, maybe all your life, and I'm going to talk about some of that today, all your life, what you have been planning to do is that, this America, I must go. And God has said to you, this America, you will not go. What we think sometimes is that he wants to spoil my enjoyment. Let me tell you what God actually is doing. He's trying to entrench you in a seat of blessing. He wants goodness and mercy to follow you. And you understand. Now, the problem is not America. It's not London. It's not anywhere. The problem is you and God's plan for your life. He has looked at it and said, this young boy, this young girl wants to go away from where I have ordained his blessing to come to. Do you follow what I'm saying? Therefore, he resists you. He starts wrestling you so that he can do you good. That's why God wrestles people. He wants to do good for you. Imagine, I mean, maybe most of us here don't have kids, but those of us who do, you can understand. You want to administer a medicine to your child, and it is bitter. You know, you use all kinds of method to make sure that child swallows it. Why? That you might do him or her good at the end. So he will fight. I don't like this one. Like my kids, they like to say, my son Akindu will point to it, I don't like this one. He will state it matter of factly. This one, I don't like this one. But you'll have to start explaining to the child, you may not like it, but you have to take it. Because right now, you're not feeling well. And the only way we can make you feel well is if you imbibe this doctrine. Do you follow what I'm saying? The medicine. All right? So he resists. If you talk and talk doesn't work, what's the next thing you do? You bring a cane. Say, if you don't swallow this thing, I start flogging you. Sometimes medicine is so bitter, the child says, "Nalai, flog, it's better than this medicine." So you will dispense with the cane and then turn toward wrestling. Come here, my friend. You will hold his hand, hold his leg. Open that mouth now. And you push it down. Why? You want to do the fellow good. Do you understand the principle? And that is exactly how God is. He wants to do you good. Please, let's get that one. That's what I'm trying to explain. That our God is so close. All right? And our God loves us more than we can ever imagine loving ourselves. Let's get that one into our minds. So that's what we have been saying. So if God loves us so much, he has a will for our lives. God has a will for your life. That's a matter of fact. God, you know, before your father married your mother, God knew you were going to be here this evening. And let me say another thing. There are people that God wanted to be here this evening. All right? And they are not here because they are still resisting the will of God. There are places you were supposed to be in previous times. All right? That maybe you resisted God's will. And what God brought you for this evening is to rearrange you into a place where your heart will unite with God's will for you so that you will not miss the place where he wants you to be tomorrow. Listen, where you are supposed to be tomorrow, number one, literally tomorrow and figuratively tomorrow, that is the next phase of your life, God ordained it long ago. Listen, let me explain this to you again. One of the things you must understand as a believer is that God is not trying to teach you how to be smart and invent. What he's trying to do is to bring you to the center of what he prepared before you even began to think. Do you understand my point? Listen, the believer's life is not an accident. What we are doing by all these teachings is to find ourselves in the center of what God proposed before we were born. Now, that's what we have been explaining, all right? So, I need to get this scripture. You know, so one of the things we said, I won't review too much so that I don't sit on the review, all right? What I've said so far is just necessary that I say it. I believe a number of people needed to hear that. What we have said so far, among the most important one is that there is an ordained will of God that is already revealed. Do you follow my point? That is, God's plan is not that all of us will now settle down and start tuning our spirits on how to get God's frequency as if it's a matter of practice. That is not Christianity. You know, I said something the other day that we cross a lot of Eastern religions, spiritism. Is that English? Okay. Yes. That's, you know, those manners of trying to discern the will of God and all of that. Some of those things are not really Christianity. Christianity is not the ability to meditate. You cross your leg and be in a corner and settle down until you are able to reach into the realm of the spirit. Listen. When God wants you to reach into the realm of the spirit, so you start seeing spirits and seeing dead people and living people. You know, when God wants you to do that, it's very easy. You know what he does? Go and read the Bible. John was just standing. Then his spirit just appears. You, come up hither. And that is it. Suddenly, you have gone. That's from scriptures. If you go and see the way it is, Daniel will be somewhere praying. And then he will just say that, that man, referring to Gabriel, who spoke with me that time, appeared again. And he began to tell me things. And he showed me a vision. And I saw a goat. And I saw this. He was just taking a stroll by the waterside. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And if you've read a lot of books, prophets and people like that, Ken Hagin, I read a lot. There's a woman, one Korean American. I'm reading her book right now. Heaven is So Real. That's the title of the book. You know, if you read those books, you will see the people were just sitting down one day and then suddenly just heard a voice saying, come up hither. Come up to the throne of God. And that's it. They were not crossing their legs, closing their eyes, trying to, tune the frequency. 107.5 FM, that's not what they were trying to do. They were just living a life before God. Do you get my point? There's something I said, let me say it again. I said, the voice of God is not as important as the heart of man because God has already spoken. Do you get my point? Once he has spoken, but it's possible to hear the thing he said once again and again and again. So you hear it once today and you hear the limit. Go and preach the gospel, all right, in Jerusalem. Then as you are preaching the gospel in Jerusalem and you are growing in the realm of the spirit, that same voice has not changed. Then you hear the voice again. It tells you, preach the gospel in Jerusalem and Judea. Do you get what I'm saying? Then you keep on developing, you keep on growing. Then you hear Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Then you keep growing and developing. Then one day, another sentence is added, and the uttermost part of the world. It wasn't that day he said it from the beginning. But you were hearing each phase as you were able to hear. As a result of spiritual development. Are you getting my point? That is why, listen, there's no point struggling in life. The first thing you should do in life is settle. What did I say? Settle. Listen, when the Bible says it is vain for a man to rise up early and go to bed late, that thing is very true. What does it mean? Get up, be eager, grow, move out, right? You have to hustle. Listen, you don't need it. What you need is to first settle down. When you hear instruction, listen, you must make reading a habit. Number one, spiritual books. Because that's how God tunes your frequency to be able to contact him. It's not as if you go and settle down somewhere and you practice meditation. No, as you are imbibing truth, your heart is being rearranged. The rearrangement of your heart is what puts you in the same frequency with God, and you automatically hear that which he said years ago. What I've said, is it clear? I hope it is clear. So we said that's it. First, we work with that which is basic. But I explain which is what I'm trying to get into. The fact that having gone beyond that which is basic, let us say it again, God is so close and he speaks directly to people. And what I want to do today, which I've been trying to do for the last 2 weeks, today will be the third week, right? What I want to do today is to discuss the methods by which God speaks to people. Of course, let me say it again. It's a matter of fact that that expression, God told me, has been abused. Everybody say abused. You know what they call abused? Abnormally used. All right? Abuse is a compound word that was derived from abnormal and what? Use. That's why you don't use your shoe as a toothbrush. That would be what? Abuse. You get my point. And you don't, when you're in a hurry, you don't take your toothbrush and use to comb your hair. That is what? Abuse. Abnormal use. As a matter of fact, we have abnormally used the expression, God told me. The same way God gave a message to Peter in a trance, when he saw a great sheet with all kinds of animals on it, alright? God still does such things to people today. Do you follow my point? Now, don't say God told me except you have such an experience. If you had such physical demonstration, or you had a vision, and in the vision the Lord appeared to you and told you something. I mean, these things happen. Listen, don't believe Jehovah's Witnesses that told you that after the real revelation, God stopped talking to people. It's not true. What should you say? Listen, there are many words. You can say, it seemed good to me. I am persuaded about this. I feel the Spirit of the Lord is impressing upon me to do this. Do you get my point? Having prayed, my heart seems settled, and I perceive it is the will of God. Use such expressions so as not to box the rest of us into a corner and be afraid to talk reason with you. Do you hear what I say? Because sometimes that is a problem. When you want to give people sound counsel, they tell you this was what God told me to do. Then you have to shut your mouth. I have the discussion with my wife all the time, you know, analyzing different situations in life. I have seen people who are, look, they are just walking in a crazy fashion. Eh? Please, the radio broadcast that was supposed to come on Thursday didn't come on. It was a hitch, all right? If you listen to, you know, it started. That message will play again on Monday. Please make sure you listen to it. Do you hear what I said? Please, in it, I explain something, which I'll give you a brief of it now. That's not my main message. That the Bible says that the aged are not always wise. He said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him what? Understanding. What the man of faith has that an average person doesn't have is what? Superior understanding. He's not a fool. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. What a lot of us who claim we have heard the Spirit of God are doing is that we think that faith means we must never be reasonable. Now listen, I'm not saying faith means you must walk by reason. I mean that faith means that you will have something, all right, beyond reason to step upon. Do you get my point? If you are going to go against reason, you don't just close your eyes and say, don't worry, it will be all right. Listen to it on radio. I don't have time to explain that one now. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm explaining a principle that God speaks to people. All right, that's what I'm trying to explain. And that, you see, sometimes people not knowing exactly how God speaks, they take their own ideas. I have seen people who just want to do something. And that's they've always determined to do. This is what they would like to do. When it was time to do it, he said, why are you doing like this? He said, that's what God told me to do. Now, Pastor Bank Aisha wasn't God. Yes, he failed colossally. We saw it. It failed. Again and again. After a while, it became a mockery of God told me. It became an issue of once God tells you something, you know the thing doesn't make sense. You know, and that's not what it's supposed to be. Please listen to that message when it comes on air on Monday, all right? I don't want to preach it again now, all right? But the point I'm making here is that, you see, so people hide behind those words when they don't know how God talks to people. And today I want to discuss two methods, all right, by which God speaks to people. Number one, the natural methods, and number two, the supernatural methods. Write that down if you are writing. Number one, there are methods that are natural and it is God still talking to people. And then number two, there are supernatural methods by which God speaks to people. I will try and be quick, all right? Because I've been delaying this thing again and again. Today, let me try and settle it. What I have established all these weeks is for us to realize something. There is a difference between Buddhism and Christianity. A Christian is not a spiritist. You follow what I'm saying? He doesn't, anytime he wants to do something, you say, wait. You go into a corner. Then it comes out. I say, yes, having gone to do my divination, this is what we are going to do. That's not what a Christian is. There was a time, the first time we heard about the realm of the spirit and the fact that God indeed talks to people, we thought that was what Christianity was. Listen to me, that's not what Christianity is. Christianity is to understand the ways of God. What did Jesus say? He said, take my yoke upon thee. How do you do that? By learning of me, he said the word, and learn of me. If you read the Greek, and is not always an addition. Sometimes a way of qualifying that which was said beforehand. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That is, there is a principle by which I do things. I keep on giving this as an example because it's the easiest one for a lot of us to relate with when we're talking about the ways of God. For example, I want to get married as an example. Let's assume I'm not married. You live in a culture in which people say that, if you marry from this side of the river Niger and you're not from that side, you're in trouble. Do you get my point? Now you learn of him and he says, henceforth, I know no man after the flesh. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now for me, that becomes what? Common sense. That's what I've been trying to explain. When we are saying that Christians think, we don't mean they use the methods of everybody on the street to do their reasoning. But at least the reasoning is based upon facts and principles which they can explain to you and they can teach those who are coming after them. Will you invest in a business? When you ask a man, hey, how are we going to do it? He said, no problem. I think we should invest in the left. He said, wait. Then you check his stomach. He cannot explain to you why he's doing what he's doing apart from the fact that he groans before he talks. Will you invest in the business with that kind of person? No, you won't. Even though, I mean, I was watching a clip, you know, an interview. Someone man interviewed Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, that's Bill Gates' wife, and Warren Buffett. When Warren Buffett gave most of his money to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And, you know, I was just watching the interview, and you see, Warren Buffett says something that about 50 years ago, that's 52 years as of today, all right? 52 years ago, seven people gave him, I think, a total of $105,000 to start, all right, investing because they believed he could do it. He could make money for them. But this is the principle I'm going to bring out. Did he do it? Yes. How? Why did they give it to him? Because they believed he could do it. Now, get one principle. The method by which he did it, you know, it's not hidden. He learned it from his teacher in postgraduate. Interestingly, I heard him say something. His wife is dead now, all right? And died some time ago. And he said that he and his wife, when they were in their 20s, agreed that everything that they will make will go back to society. They will dash the money out. This is just by the way. Now I'm digressing. He said that he believes he should leave enough money for his children to do anything they want, apart from doing nothing. That is, he will never give his children enough money that will make sure they can do nothing if they want to do nothing. No. They will arrange it. You'll go broke if you do nothing. Now, I'm bringing out the principle. The principle he used to start investing 50 years ago until he became the richest man in the world, he tried to teach it to other people. They just don't want to learn it. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to say. There is a principle. He followed an order. He said, he told his wife then that, look, I'm going to be a very rich man as a young poor boy. He said, my wife used to laugh. She thought I was just being delusional. But then, was it just... No, he had a set of principles he wanted to follow, which the rest of the world wasn't following. And he knew it would get results. Listen, what God does for the Christian, I need to say to you, he said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty does what? Gives him understanding. After I listened to Warren Buffett talk, and there was somebody I talked to a few days ago, and everything the man said, for information, I did not agree with anyone. But I put all the things together, and I came to the conclusion. Let me say, I'm not bragging before you. I can never be an average preacher. Listen, in this country and on the surface of this planet, I will affect every household, as God allows me. Every household. Because I have seen the madness a lot of preachers pursue, which is why they don't ever make it in ministry. I'm not joking about that. I'm explaining a principle. That the inspiration of the Almighty gives what? Understanding. Now, I'm bringing out a principle. That after speaking with people and observing things, I discovered that a lot of people that do wrongly, even in business and stuff, it is not because somebody is just somewhere spoiling things for them. It's because they just won't do that which is right. I don't know whether I get my point. For example, maybe customer relations. I told you that day that Chike told me he sacked one of his staff on the spot. That is, something happened and he sent a man packing who was working for him. That day we were discussing customer relations. What happened was that RainbowNet phone was not working. All right? And, the internet. So he said that the internet he was using in his office is Canet. So he called Canet that his own was broken down for about a week or two. And you know what this Canet person told him? You are complaining. Go and ask the RainbowNet people. Their own has not worked for 2 months. What is my business with whether the RainbowNet man's phone has not worked for 2 months? I pay you every month to give me internet services. 2 months and 2 weeks, you haven't given it to me. And I am not owing you. You are telling me I'm even complaining. Why don't I go and see those who have suffered more than I have suffered? One day, my daughter had an accident at home. The little brother slammed the door accidentally on her hand, and the thing almost cut off her finger. All right, this was a few years ago, about a year, well, many months ago anyway, over a year. So, I had to take her to hospital. So, my colleagues said I should go to orthopedic because that's where they do plastic surgery. So, I got there. Of course, naturally, the mother was, that's my wife, was distraught. She was crying and everything. And one nurse was trying to console her. He said, "Why are you crying? Go inside there and go and see some people who their heads are almost off." I just told my wife, ignore her. She doesn't have sense. Listen, a mother cares about her offspring. Doesn't care whether the whole world is perishing. If you want to console her, I mean, what you need to do is, oh, madam, don't worry. These doctors are good. They will attach this thing back and the finger won't go off. And instantly her tears will dry. He said, what is it? This one is making you cry. Why don't you go inside there and see people who they have broken their neck? What in concern if the other they break their life? Is it my business? Are they my daughter? Now people don't sometimes people don't know how to talk to customers, and that is what is killing their business. So Jikena told me the story that one day, we're just discussing that one. That one day he heard shouting from inside his office. And so he came and said, what's the problem? He saw one of his staff telling the customer, if you don't like it, carry your business somewhere else. He just says enough. Called the customer into his office and apologized. Say, I'm very sorry. What was it you wanted done? They discussed. At the end of the day, told the man bye-bye. They settled the matter. As soon as the man left, he called the staff and fired him. Say, never in your life tell my customer whose money I'm paying you a salary that if he doesn't like, he should carry his business somewhere else. Guy begged him, said, sorry, no, it's good. I want to use it as an example. After that, every other person will smile in that office. The customer will come and say, all of now they're crazy. Say, as you like it, sir. Now, I'm not a principle. Understanding. The inspiration of the Almighty gives them what? Understanding. That is what a lot of people don't have. And they start doing things wrongly. And number one thing that God gives the believer, let me tell you something. The thing that only you can understand, even men of faith bigger than you can't understand it. Oh boy, look at it with suspicion. Go back home and go and pray first. What are you saying? Elijah sat down. They said, the armies are surrounding us. Alas, my master, how shall we do? Elisha said, don't worry. When the boy was worried, he prayed. He said, God, open his eyes. Because indeed, he saw something. He wasn't just settling down and saying, nothing will spoil. Why? Because I feel nothing will spoil. Please, I don't know why I'm just sitting on that. All this shmo, we don't do anything without looking inside our stomach, claiming we are checking our spirit. Listen, my friend, forget all that divination. You don't start life without using divination. That, you know, it's not necessary. First thing you go for as a believer is what? Understanding. What you do, you pray. Give me understanding. Look, I said, David said, the righteousness of thy testimonies, they are everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. I live just is different from just a matter of dying and the opposite of dying. Where I was supposed to fail, if God gives me understanding, I will succeed. That's the meaning of the word, I shall live. Listen, those who really have understanding, you know how you know you have it? You can communicate it with people of like mind. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, you are a believer. When you settle with people who are believers like you, and you give them the reason why you are doing what you are doing, they will have understanding. Please, oh God. You know, I was explaining something, that there are two ways by which God speaks to people. Number one, there's what? The natural method, and there's the supernatural method. The supernatural one we'll talk about afterwards, but won't go into details because it's not necessary. Because the day supernatural things are going to happen, they tend to take you over. Do you follow my point? Yes, if God was to take you into a vision, what in concern you, what in the opposite, you can't control what's going on in the vision. If God pulls out your spirit out of your body and you go up to heaven and you start taking tours, you don't know the way. You have no choice but to cooperate. All I'm going to do about that is just explain that they happen. Do you get my point? They happen, and then we'll leave it there. But first and foremost, let's talk about the natural ways. I've explained that God is very close. And you know the interesting part? God manifests in various methods. Now, I don't know which one is more important or less important, but I'll just list them in the order in which it comes to my mind, or the order I've written them down, on how the natural ways by which God speaks to people. Number one is that God offers you information. Now, let me say this again. I need to go back a few steps. The other time when we're speaking, we said that if any man lacks wisdom, can you remember that? We said if any man does what? lack wisdom. And we said that as James was talking. And we said this is the meaning of the word, if any man lacks wisdom. It means that number one, you walk according to the understanding that you have. First level of understanding is the one that is common to everybody. And our example was how they replaced Judas with Matthias. She was Matthias, right? Now, how did they replace Judas? These people, let me summarize everything. They said, we are 12. And according to the prophecy, one man has gone away. Therefore, another prophecy said, his place, let another take. So we must replace Judas. This is the interesting part. Nobody commanded them to replace Judas. Jesus did not even tell them to replace Judas. Did he? No. They just understood. They had interacted with him for some time. That we are supposed to be 12. One man was dead. Judas was dead. Therefore, he needed to be replaced. So they went out to what? Replace Judas. And then they also understood that this is how you replace Judas. We are all apostles of the Lamb. Therefore, we must be eyewitnesses. To them, it was important that whoever will replace Judas must be an eyewitness. Like John said, that which our hands have handled, that which we heard, we saw. All right? Which our hands handled. So we need an eyewitness. So the criterion was that the person must have been with us from the beginning to the time Jesus rose up to heaven. That's all. After they checked everywhere, there were only two people. That was where understanding ceased. That was what James meant when he said, if any man lacks what? Wisdom. You get the point. So that was when they now prayed and they began to cast lots. And then that lot now fell on Matthias and they replaced him. So I'm explaining something. Up to the end of the first level, they walked by the understanding that they had. Now we are saying if you are going to go beyond that level, you need the voice of God. And that's what we are discussing now. Have you gotten the point? So that's where we are. How does God add his voice to the one that you have already? To the understanding that you have? It makes sense, therefore, that the first thing he gives to you is what? More understanding. More information. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, there's a book, my book, Grace to Live By. It will come out, well, I don't know whether it can still make it this year. If not, early next year. It's one of the books that's on queue now to come out of the press, all right? Grace to Live By. In it, I told a story about two brothers. Please listen to what I'm saying. When I say one of the things that God gives you is what? Information. More information. Because he knows you have enough understanding on how to make the decision if you had enough information. I remember a movie I watched long ago. One man told his boss, I thought. The man said, think. Stop thinking. I don't give you enough information to think. That is, what is thinking? The process of thinking is the process of analyzing information. Do you get what I'm saying? You will be able to make more decisions if you have basic wisdom, if you have enough information. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, this is the principle there. So, this God knowing that you have enough understanding on how to make decisions. Therefore, if what you lack is information, one of the things he supplies to you is what? Information. In that book, I told a story of two brothers. And let me relate the story to you. You can read it in the book again when the time comes. That a brother wanted to start a business. Now, the other brother happened to know some people who are very powerful in that establishment, which this man was seeking to do business. So he offered to speak to them on his behalf. You know what I mean? He's good. You know people, all right? So the brother helped his friend talk to the people that he knew, and they advised him that that company was about to go under and he shouldn't do business with them. When this guy who was starting the business, when he was going to respond to the information being presented to him, you know what he said? I don't care about that. Anything God says I should do, I will do. Listen to me, that's a very stupid answer. It's a very stupid answer. Listen. Now, some people now want to say that, what if that guy was giving wrong information? Let me tell you something. I said God is so close. You know I said that earlier. Now, God will intervene if you are making a wrong decision based on right principles, using all the information that you have. That's why he's your God and your Father. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you have a good heart, you are making a decision based on sound godly principles. And you are using all the information you have. You're not deliberately holding one back because you don't want to face reality. You're getting the point. If you come to a wrong conclusion, the good Lord will intervene. And we'll see another of the ways by which he speaks to people when he's intervening. Remember the story of Abimelech when he took Abraham's wife. Now, Abimelech in his own eyes and in his own days was quite a good man. For his time, he was a good man. Because each generation has standards of righteousness. Alright? In his generation, he was a man of righteous deeds according to the standards of his generation. Taking an extra wife for a king was no big deal. It was not good. Do you get my point? It was not good. But God didn't utterly frown upon it. There are things that God just overlooked. It was some of those things that God overlooked. But then Abimelech understood that no matter how God overlooks things, you don't take another man's wife. Your kingdom will not last. So one thing he never used to do was to take another man's wife. Abraham appeared and said, "She's not my wife. She's my sister." And Abimelech said, "In that case, she qualifies according to my standard of righteousness to become my new wife. Is that not so?" And he took Abraham's wife. And God appeared in his sin. God appeared at night and said, "What? You are a dead man." We'll come to that. Supernatural ways by which God speaks. Dreams, visions. Those are some of the ways by which God speaks. The Lord appeared to him in a dream. He said, "You are a dead man." He said, "Ah, dead, ke." He said, "The man, you took a prophet's wife." The man shook his head. "I didn't take any wife." Said, "That man, that woman is that guy's wife." He said, "But he you are a witness." He himself said, "She's my sister." God said, "That is why I have come to talk to you." Abimelech said, "You know how I deal." He said, "Yes, that's why I bothered. So that you will not sin against me. Therefore, restore the man's wife. And give him, you know, he will pray for you and the healing that you require. Because I've already poured a plague into your home. Because those who do wrongly, all right, out of ignorance. The Bible said they get few stripes. It didn't say they get no stripe. You know that the stripes will be few. So the few stripes had entered his house. Because of his normal state of heart, he qualified for mercy. And that was why God showed him mercy. What did I say? I said if you make a wrong decision, having a clean heart, you make the decision with sound, spiritual, godly principles, but you didn't have the correct information, God will intervene. Are you getting the point? One of the things that God gives you when he wants to talk to you is what? Information. Please don't ever forget that. I'm talking about natural methods by which God speaks. Okay? Now, another one by which God speaks, all right? This one is very important. That's natural method. I'll just rush through it. Advice and counsel from people. Quickly, let's read the scriptures so that then I'll quote two of them. We'll read one. Proverbs 11, 14 and Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6. Let's just read one of them. The Bible says, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall." Now, how does guidance come? Next line. "But in abundance of counselors, there is what? Safety," or my Bible says, "victory." That is, guidance is explaining here comes from abundance of counselors. Let me tell you something. Mike Murdock said that when God wants to bless you, he sends somebody into your life. And when the devil wants to destroy you, he sends somebody into your life. And I heard Mike Murdock say again, another one of his teachings, that when God wants to bless you, sometimes he takes somebody out of your life. Do you follow what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now, one of the things that God gives to your life is good counselors. That's why I've been explaining to you, listen to this. You don't start hearing the voice of God when you have problems. When you have to make a decision. Suddenly, three brothers have asked you, "Marry me." You are a wicked soul. You are a stingy soul. You are a lying soul. Then you now go and pray. "Pastor, please pray. Three of them are just good. Which one do I marry?" Listen to me. No matter how anointed that pastor is, once he doesn't address your iniquity first, he will tell you a lie. And he wouldn't even know it's a lie. You see, we need to get this thing correctly. First, you must have a good and correct heart. Do you get what I'm pointing? Uh-huh. Then, Bible talks about, in Psalm 1, Where you work, in which kind of company do you circulate? You can't be a righteous man and your best friends are adulterers. You will soon die. You can't tell me I don't steal. But you are getting married. Your best man is a 419. It's a practicing 419 agent. Look, you've heard the expression before. Show me your friends. I'll tell you the kind of person that you are. Is that me? I don't smoke. But your right-hand man, na cocaine dealer. Your left-hand man, na wee wee, they take brush for money. It does not matter that you don't smoke. Do you follow my point? That you don't smoke doesn't matter. So when we're talking about counselors, God speaking through counselors, look, you know, God, I've told you before, God can be very, very deceptive when he meets deceptive people. Are you surprised to hear that? I said, when God meets wicked people, he knows how to do wickedly. What I'm trying to say is that if you're a habitual wicked soul, having wicked friends, when you need counsel, God will speak wicked counsel through the mouth of your friend. Don't ever forget that the prophets who prophesied before Micaiah came, before Ahab and Jehoshaphat, they were hearing from heaven. No? A lying spirit departed from the presence of God to go and speak to the two kings through their mouth. But let's not settle on that. Let's settle on good people. That I'm persuaded that everybody seated here this evening is. Alright? See, I'm a good person. I'm a child of God. I delight in the law of the Lord. Now, if you are such a person, one of the ways by which God talks to you is through counselors. You know the interesting part? An average good Christian knows the kind of people to ask for counsel. And let them tell you that. Most people know... You know, I've said this before. You know where to go for counsel. You know that. I mean, you know. If you really, really, really want to hear the voice of God, there are places you don't go for counsel. And you yourself, you know it. There are people you don't ask. I remember one of my teachers when I was in university. She said, now listen though. That day I told myself, this woman shouldn't be teaching a class of medical students. This is an error. It's a spiritual error. Because she said, if my daughter marries, after a few years, she doesn't have children. I will just arrange another man for her in my house. That no, there is no science about this. I was looking at her. Listen. If I see that woman till tomorrow, I will never ask advice on life matters from her. I can ask her advice on how to commit suicide. You know, it's very good. Say, madam, I'm thinking of ending it all. Should I jump from a 16th floor or drink tea at night? Which one do you think is quicker? That's the kind of advice you ask from such people. You hear a pastor preach that. You know, if you and your wife are not going the same direction, divorce is okay. And your wife vexes you, you go ask her for advice. You should know that you are the one that wants to kill yourself. And you've heard the man preach. Explain to you, look, I don't care. For me, in this life, I won't let any woman give me any headache. If my wife misbehaves, I will drive out of the house. Oh boy, the day your wife misbehaves, don't go and ask him for advice. Because spirit, they jump. Oh God. He's bad spirit. His bad spirit will jump into you. I was reading this man's book, James Dobson. He is a man who advocates disciplining children, you know, with a rod, when they show signs of rebellion. He said there was this little girl who had been misbehaving. The parents didn't know how to discipline her. Then one day they went to the bookshop and bought a book on Dare to Discipline. That's in his book. They went back home, read the book, and next time little girl misbehaved, the father brought out a cane and gave her small spanking. I'm talking about spirit jumping. The little girl looked and said, something is wrong here. Something is wrong. My father actually beat me. Then she remembered that they bought a book and the father and the mother had been reading the book. So she took the book, tore it, and threw it into the toilet. That the spirit must have come from that book. That's what I'm telling you. Look, when people just go out somewhere, suddenly gather boldness to do things. Ask yourself, listen, boldness comes from places. Either you interacted with somebody, or you read a book, or you went into the real presence of God and the Holy Spirit jumped inside your soul. You don't just wake up in the morning and suddenly become bold. What I'm saying is that when you want good advice, you know good people that God will speak to. You know, I've been emphasizing that it's you first before we start considering God. That is, if you really want good advice, if you really want the voice of God, I don't know how else to say it. I think you know where to go when you're looking for advice. One day I was in church. They said, Pastor Banky, are you willing to counsel somebody? I said, why not? Call the person. They brought a lady to see me. And she said, she works in a particular bank. Her husband is abroad. They are transferring her to another branch. And her husband said, no, you are not going, you are not leaving town. And what's the option? Find another job. But whatever it is, you are not obeying that transfer. And she tried to explain to me that things are a bit rough with them. He's not even settled where he is right now. He's trying to settle down. So, what should she do? What you should do? I will tell you simply. Your husband is insistent, yes, that you shouldn't leave town and go to another small town around where they are transferring you. Yes. You've tried to talk to him. Say yes. What did he say? He insisted. I said, my sister, I think you have no choice. Let us pray that your husband will prosper where he is. I have enough money to send to you. They have one little child. Oh, girl, wait. As I was trying to explain, you know, I've talked to people, I've taught a lot. I knew when her spirit left me. Her spirit just like, this guy is not saying what I want him to say. And she kept on bringing up arguments. I just said, well, I have said my own at the go house. Church don't end. Rice day for house. I they go. This one that you know what you want to hear. You are looking for who will cooperate with you to disobey God. You go from one person to the other until they say the very one. Look, can God knows how to disappoint these people? You will keep on hearing the correct one until after that, like, the fourth person, God will say, all of you see, we try to help him or help, try to help her. Now, you now go to the next person. You say, as you wish. Explaining to me your problem, my spirit began to bubble, and God said, I should tell you, do as you have desired right now. Go, I'm telling you the truth. Listen, God speaks through people. Remember, the high priest, the Bible said he prophesied being high priest, and he did not even know he was prophesying. Let me explain something to you. Listen, most people who are prophesying into your life don't even know they are prophesying. Those who will speak words that will transform your life, most of them, that they were not even talking to you. At least I have that personal experience. People have told me, sir, that day you said this, the moment you said it, I took off on this, and look at what God has done. In my mind, I said it. Now, wow, I didn't even know I said it. I was just preaching. And when I was preaching, I was not under, in quotes, a prophetic unction. I was just teaching. You understand my point? I was bringing out of my storehouse precious things, both new and old, like the Bible talked about the scribe who has been schooled in the things of the kingdom. Yet, the lives of people were being transformed. The high priest prophesied that it is better for one man to die than for the whole nation to perish. And he was speaking about Jesus Christ, who they were going to crucify. And the Bible said he was prophesying, being high priest for that year. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, a lot of people who will give you advice are speaking expressly the word of God, and they do not even know it. But it's a good thing about God, who is so close and who is so near. He will let you know. Your spirit will know when you hear God. You can go and rationalize it away and say, no, it's not God. But I don't know how else to say that. Your spirit will know when you hear God. What am I going to explain? In the multitude of counselors, there is what? There is safety. And when we're talking, in fact, we have to talk about counselors. You know, counselors are usually not those who are inferior to you in understanding. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, you don't go. I don't go home now and sit down. I want to discuss some serious matters. I bring my son. He's not yet 6 years old. Sit down here. You know, your mother and I were just talking about this thing. What do you really think? What's your opinion? What do you think we should do about this matter at hand? The boy already knows it's a joke.